Did you look at the notes? Did you add some?
Just fucking wing it. I looked at it like 10 days ago. What could have changed?
That's not how it works, but fine. I mean, this is the most gathership ever. I'm sitting outdoors. It's about to rain. And if you're in it, it feels like you're in a noisy co-work. And we both have only AirPods.
Can you hear background noise?
Oh, it's perfectly fine.
Okay.
I just think it's very fine. So
I've done a lot of ghetto podcasts in my days.
That's funny. So where you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about how we did this performance thing. We might bill somebody like $30,000 this month.
Yeah, but maybe we don't want to share too much of our internal secrets. Like building public is dead, right?
We could talk about that.
What's your hot take? True or false?
Building public is not dead for people who are building actual interesting things.
So you're saying Peter Levels is not doing interesting things.
Peter Levels doesn't do interesting things, but he does things in an interesting way. And you can copy his products all you want, because it's not like they are the world's coolest technology. And this goes all the way back to Nomad List, right? Like you could have copied that, but you can't copy his marketing, his design, his attitude. All these things that earned him the followers that he has.
Yeah, the SEO mode in particular for like these projects, yes. For remote, remote, okay, yeah. Nomad List, and
he builds shit in an interesting way.
That's a good point. I mean, have you seen anyone building lately where you saw this is actually interesting?
What do you think? Besides Peter, a lot of my favorite guys went underground. Danny Postma went underground. Like I've got a good handle on how much he's making and the types of things that he's dealing with. And I would love to see someone like him write more about that, but he's not going to do it because they'd be shooting himself in the foot.
Yeah. It's the same for us, right? And I think we used to share a lot more.
I mean, is this part of the podcast? Are we talking about, is this the podcast now, or should we talk about the podcast?
Oh, that's it.
So if this is the podcast, what I would say about that is I really do want to share all the cool things that we're doing in our business, all the success we're having, because for years, I shared all the troubles I was having, all the questions I had, all the things that went wrong, all the hypotheses I had, and people were helpful. And I learned a lot from that. And I learned from people doing that. But I don't know if you and I ever talked about this. When we did Damn Good Leads and when we hit like that first like 20K month or something, I think I tweeted about it. And then 2 days later, I Googled our brand name. Somebody put up like this damngoodleads.salesstore.com. And it was this like Indian guy who just copied our website. And I don't know if you would ever do business on it, but he copied it nonetheless. And if you Google Damn Good Leads, it might still be there. Check it out.
And there was also like the Twitter handle with water.
Yeah. Okay. So say something about that. I'm going to look this up while you say something about that, because that was bullshit.
Yeah. It was just some guy making an account on Twitter for at Damn Good Leads and then sending us a message. Hey, if you want it, it's going to be X dollars. I don't know. It wasn't even much. It was like 500 or whatever he wanted. But yeah, we told him to go away, that we don't care at all. And I think he eventually, or even wanted to give it to us for free or something. But I mean,
and we still didn't want it.
Yeah, and we still didn't want it. But these are the kind of things you're dealing with, right? Downside is very real.
Yeah. And so the thing is, I was sharing back then because there was so much upside, but now the downside outweighs the upside. Every time that I would post anything about an interesting thing we're doing in the business or a revenue number, the DMs come in, the stupid comments come in. What is your business? Look at my damn profile. Somebody DMs me. Hey, can we hop on a call just to talk about life? I'm not going to respond to that. Now they're LinkedIn messaging me. Hey, I really just want to talk to you about your life. Like, why won't you respond to me? I don't know who you are. Random person just DMing me and wants to get on a call all my life. I don't even get on a call with my business partner if I don't have to. I'm not going to get on a call with you. So I've just found it to be more annoying than anything. But the thing is, this is the other big thing is I don't want to bitch on the internet like I'm doing right now, because I don't like complaining. I don't want to complain. I want to replace that with other thoughts. And that's why I'm just focusing on the business and all the good things I can do. I could just start a hit piece Twitter, call it like Indie Hackers Gone Wild, people who need to shut up. But I'm choosing to focus my energy elsewhere.
I mean, that's a very interesting phenomenon is that you're getting all these weird DMs, and my DMs are actually awesome. I don't know why. I basically only have like people asking me, hey, I got a newsletter. Can you help me? Like get sponsors, right? It's all awesome. I never have randos asking me to drop on a call or something. I don't know what it is. I mean, I have a lot more followers. I'm also active. And my DMs are wide open.
You are. I get some of those, but I think that you have also done well with setting your boundaries on Twitter, where you will tweet some shit and people will not want to fuck with you. And so they probably look at me and they're like, oh yeah, this guy, he's got that face that looks like he wants to listen to whatever bullshit I have to say. And he's not,
got
he's
that
not
face, yeah.
me on Twitter. Yeah. Generic white boy face number two. It happens in real life too. People just come up and they're like, excuse me, sir. Do you know how to speak Spanish? I'm trying to learn Spanish and I don't know. You have a mustache, so you must know. I'm like, I'm just trying to eat my dinner.
It's an interesting phenomenon that you are very approachable and I'm not. And it's probably, it would be interesting to study why that is. But I mean, I think it's
I can throw you something quick. I did just learn something. I just learned something called prey eyebrows and predator eyebrows. So prey eyebrows is what I'm doing right now. My eyebrows are lifted up and it's like associated with feelings of like shock and fear and surprise and being weak. But I do it in conversation all the time because I'm very expressive. And prey eyes is like this, where your eyebrows are a little knit, they're a little closer, they're just relaxed. And you have prey eyebrows. You have predator eyebrows. I have prey eyebrows.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment. Sounds very high tea to me.
It is very high tea. So this is another topic is I am going to get a testosterone test this week and I'm going to plot my revenue. I mean, our revenue, my testosterone and my lips all in one thing, week over week.
Nice. The bank of fun of sense.
I think it does. But here's the thing is I talk to other indie hacker type founders and they are repulsed by the notion that testosterone is a good thing. So I think it's still, there's people who are, if people are for it, they're all the way for it. If people are against it, they're all the way against it.
Yeah, it actually would be interesting to have scientific data on that. And you have like the big counter example is these very nerdy, very successful founders. I think the key is anything that lowers your threshold for taking action is a good thing. And this nerdy category is actually because they are kind of more autistic on the autistic spectrum or something like this. A lot of them. So they have lower thresholds for other reasons. And there is also, there is the middle, which is very dangerous. And I actually don't know like what their T levels are and how that is related. But I think at least I noticed that the lower my action threshold is, the more shit I get done and the better shit I get done. And I think this was very noticeable, I think, for both of us when we took some Kratom, right? And failed. No, for real. I mean, this definitely had this effect on me that you are no longer trying to think, okay, does this really make sense when I now do this and what is that? And then, no, you just do shit, right? I think that it would make sense if there is a correlation for this exact reason, because you get this urge to actually do shit, right?
I like this saying that you said, which is anything that lowers your threshold for action is a good idea. And I can resonate with that, unless we're talking about alcohol or something. So that lowers your threshold for action too, but anything that lowers your threshold for action that you can also tie to the good things in your life, whether that's sending that scary email to move your business forward or lifting that heavy weight to set a personal record or talking to that pretty girl, like the higher testosterone does those things for you. And so I'm interested in those experiments. You sent me that guy who does this work with other founders and does like at home tea testing parties. I'm very interested in that. I'm going to be in the same continent he is in next month. So hopefully I can do more of his stuff. talked to a bunch of people about this. It's something like, let me pull it up quick. You sent it to me. I've got it in my open tabs. He's got a website called
Hard Pivot. You said there.
Hard Pivot. So the guy who runs Hard Pivot is Jeff. Jeff Tang,
exactly.
So we were DMing back and forth, and I was telling him about this experiment I want to run with tracking, and I just haven't started it yet. So I'm going to do that. I still have the Kratom at home. I've not really taken that. It's a little more crazy, but just the easy stuff, like lifting heavy weights, being in the sun, eating a lot of red meat. It's not too complicated.
Yeah, I think like Kratom or like these nootropics would definitely have a similar effect, but are actually a bad solution to the same problem, in my opinion, because they are not sustainable and cause other issues, right? So whatever way you can find to actually get the same effect is definitely better. So I'm not taking any of that. I'm only only taking coffee. That's my drug of choice. But I saw a good tweet, I think yesterday, where someone was basically summarizing the lessons he learned from talking to a lot of founders. He's someone, a group leader at YC. I don't remember what exactly, but right. But basically that startups are a doing sport, a doing game, not a thinking game. Right. And I really like that, because in my experience, and I don't know about your experience in that regard, but for me, it's definitely true that every time I'm trying to plan and think things through and make a spreadsheet and then come up with points for different options, like be very strategic, that shit never works and does anything. It's just a waste of time. And also like, yeah, let's do more research and whatever. It's like, it is always a waste of time unless you actually have absolutely no fucking clue. Right?
So thinking to a point, right? Because I think that I have this process where I read a book and it helps me find out what questions to ask. And then I know people or I meet people and they help me answer those questions, and those conversations inspire me. And then I do shit. But where I don't want to think is when there's something scary to be done, like got to talk to this person, got to take this risk. And then it's thinking about, well, maybe I'll just do this instead for right now, or maybe I'll prioritize that and I'll get to that next week. That's the thinking I want to do away with. But I do like the thinking of what can I do next? Because I know what I can do tomorrow. I can answer emails. I can take a look at the numbers. I can try out this one little code thing that I wanted to write. But I do want to think about tonight, what is the highest impact thing I can do tomorrow to move the business forward? That's the thinking I like. And for me, that's usually reading, talking to people, journaling.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have a slightly different take on the whole journaling and whatever, because I've tried it, and I think it has actually a quite negative effect on me, because it makes me more brainy, and I'm a very brainy guy already, right? It takes me more into my head, and this is actually not helpful. It might be different for different people, but in general,
this is funny because I'm a very with my hands guy. Like, grew up on a farm, like to fix things, like always outside and always with people, and like never in my own head alone. And this helps me, I think, remove the cloud and get some clarity, like just pull the thread from this yarn ball until it's untangled. And I can go, oh, if I do this, then that'll happen. Therefore I should do this.
Yeah. I think like for me, it's really the opposite. It's making things more cloudy, and actually only doing is having this effect for me. And yeah. Erring on the side of taking action is never the idea. Is I think the short version for me. And I mean, I also just to finish that conversation on building on public, something I wanted to say is that I think we have a lot of incredible stuff we are doing internally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of it is actually our mode. And I mean, people always say, oh, there are no really secrets and everyone's doing the same thing and it's just execution, whatever. And ultimately, I know definitely disagree. Like, I think, like, for example, operations is a real mode, right? And like, is a very real competitive advantage we have. And I don't want to share what we are doing, because there is little upside and just people copying our stuff, which lowers our competitive advantage.
So thoughts on this? One, I agree, because operations is margin. Operations is service delivery and therefore quality of product. Two, I have thought about sharing and I've thought about ways that people share, but what you and I agree on is that there are so many, you know, some might call them charlatans, some might call them smart business people. There are so many people who get the level that you and I initially hit up, the level that you and I hit our first plateau at, you know, 50K MRR. And they got there and they go, this is hard. Let me teach other people how to get where I got to. And so some people might say, I can help you get to 50K MRR. Why should you trust me? I'm a big agency guy. I tend to think those people are charlatans because then they get removed from the business itself. And then years go by and they're still telling people how to get to someplace that they haven't been in years. You know, how right we are, how right they are. I'm not really interested in finding that out right now. I'm more interested in the actual answers themselves. How can we get those answers? I think these buy-in groups are kind of bullshit. I think that if there was a group that was started by guys like you and me that said, look, we'll share you one really cool play out of our operational playbook and that anybody in this group can access, and that's your entry fee. You have to share one of those really good things. You apply to get accepted. Now you're in the group. You can see everybody else's. I like that concept. It's more like a rising tide floating all boats instead of one guru taking all the cash.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that is something that actually makes sense. But I think we can talk about one specific example where basically why this whole approach is bullshit, like why these are actually charlatans and is hiring, right? We are trying to do a lot of hiring and finding great people is actually hard. So we did research, we talked to people, and then we come across it twice, right? How do you hire? And the thing is that all of this hiring advice is complete BS. Now, it used to work maybe a few years ago, and also like the places where you look, because like, for example, everyone is like, yeah, you're going to go Philippines, great workers, great work.
Yeah.
But now like everyone has, is fishing there and has fished there, and like all the talent is gone. Right. And it's actually very hard to find good people there. So like this kind of advice is no longer good. And as you said, the people are no longer in the game. So the advice you're getting from them is useless. And the same with GPT. Like these written assignments used to be an amazing, I'm sure they used to be an amazing way to find good candidates, but now they are completely useless. Like you can't trust any written assignments because everyone's just plugging it into GPT, and why wouldn't they? But you can't. But you can't judge how someone thinks or works based on a written assignment anymore. So like all of that is completely outdated. And these people don't know, and they just keep giving this kind of advice because they are not in the game anymore, right?
Yeah. So what you say about it, the talent has dried up. I think it's a slightly different problem, and we run into this in the States with the Amish. And the Amish are the people who don't have electricity, live in their communes, are pretty orthodox, and are farmers. They are renowned, at least in the last 30 years, for craftsmanship. You want a cabinet built, you go to the Amish, and it's a good price and you get great quality for it. I mean, these guys build a barn in a day, built one of our barns, built a few of our barns. And we started to get people who call themselves Amish or who actually are Amish, but they're aware of the business implications of being Amish, and they will charge a higher price because they say it's such a quality, and then you get shit. And I think that we're seeing that in the Philippines, where you have these people who go, oh, yep, I'm going to apply for a task-oriented job that I could potentially automate, and then I'm just going to collect as many of those jobs as possible. I'll be great at none of them, but I'll be good or okay, or I'll fly under the radar at all of them. And it just doesn't work for guys like us because we need people who are going to at least devote some of their brain power every day to the job. I mean, we had a couple people we hired time and time again. We would have step-by-step instructions. They weren't following them. We try to talk to them about why they weren't being followed. They would assure us that they were being followed when the evidence showed that they weren't being followed. And we just had to cut our ties there. That said, we did get somebody great from the Philippines. And she is like the backbone of what we do, you know?
True, true. But still holds true that basically all the advice we got from people who are no longer in the game themselves has turned out to be complete BS. All of it. And this includes consultants, but also people who launched a successful agency, whatever, 10 years ago, and now have shifted their focus more towards teaching, right? And I mean, that's of course a valid policy cut to go down, and you have to understand that actually, like, if, unless you actually are actively involved, your advice will be outdated. Everything is moving so fast now.
I agree. And so maybe there's some blind spot that guys who are doers like you and I have, where maybe if we got really good at meditation, we could transcend and see over our shoulders and say, oh, well, we're just saying this because we're very good at doing, but someday we'll be big enough that we'll want one of these thinkers, these strategic people in place. And I just don't know when that shoe is going to drop. So I am keeping an open mind to anybody who is one of these style of people. It's just like in the Philippines, we did end up finding a good one. But I think for right now, so much of the focus is away from these people who say they can help us, because they say they can help us, but they never tell us how. We'll give you better branding. We'll give you a better website. We'll give you a tighter delivery, but we give them access to everything, let them see everything that's going on, and they can never tell us what is the thing that is going to get done. So that's my problem with them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very easy to have an opinion, and it's also very easy to spin a nice story about you around your opinion, right? For example, our website sucks. Yes, if you apply certain standards, it certainly does. But at the same time, when I'm checking our inbox, I'm seeing people, yeah, we just signed up with this company, but actually I just checked out your website and your vibe is very much more like the startup vibe we are going for, right? So let's talk. And there's always these two sides, and people who claim they know a ton about this stuff often, do not know as much as they claim to.
It's also just not our bottleneck, and our focus is always on what's the biggest bottleneck right now. I mean, do we care about the website? If we're bringing in like 5 brand new clients per day, that's not really a concern. I would say it's actually working pretty well. So if someone were to come to us and say, hey, you know, at your level, we see people run into this service delivery things. I imagine you do this every day and I would do this for you instead, then I might listen. But I think that so many people are in DMs and sending cold emails because they go, those guys must have money, but they're not actually thinking about what problem does that business truly have and what are the founders thinking about. And I think that's why you and I succeed at our cold email, because when we're sending outreach, we're going for that context first. Right over.
I agree. Yeah. At the same time, I mean, it's so frustrating that it really feels like we have to figure everything out ourselves, right? And like we're trying hard, and you're definitely harder than me trying to find people, resources, whatever to learn from. But most of it has been a disappointment.
Yeah, but you know, it's a curse, but it's also an opportunity, right? Because if we do find something that's going to work for us, then we know that we're in rarefied enough air that it's going to be a boat for us. Like, it's going to be just as hard for anybody else to find. And you and I see how our competitors are. Yes, there are some good ones, but we also see people who really see these roadblocks, and instead of speeding up, they slow down. And they go, oh, this is going to be hard. I think I'd really rather just relax and outsource what I can and check a dashboard once a day and be done with it. But it's that hustle rat is going to take us to this next level, you know?
And I mean, if I think about the stuff that we recently implemented that actually works, it was always from people running an agency themselves right now, right? Mm-hmm. And how this came to us is in different ways. And it was never actually me paying for advice or anything like that. But like the operational stuff we implemented, the technical stuff we implemented, it's actually from people running businesses right now. And I wish there was a better way to share these kind of insights, especially across different industries. So if you're not a competitor, I mean, it also could make sense in the same industry if you have a different focus. But I mean, if someone is doing a to edit, right, and they figure out some amazing operational stuff that still can be very relevant for us, and that's actually where we get, I feel like, the most valuable lessons from, and where we should get more from. So I'm very excited about your experiment with the group you want to start.
So I'm doing the first step of that for this upcoming weekend. It's just the agency mastermind at my house, but I wanted to talk about the flip side of this for a second. So not only are you and I seeking answers, but there are people who are in the same position that you and I have been in these last years, which is like, how do I get a business to work and pay me? They are DMing, asking for advice. I meet them in person and I just share really simply, like, look, this was the business model. It's something that people always want. And we executed on it. And the thing that helped me execute on it more than anything else was I read this one book. It's like 50 pages. My partner read it too. And we just did everything that's fed in the book. And yes, we applied our flair to it, but we followed that framework and it worked. Next thing you know, we're at like 30 and then 40 and then 50K MRR. And they go, oh my God, what's that book? I need to know that book. I'm like, yep, here's the book. And then you do this. And the guy who writes it's a really nice guy and ask him for advice. And then, you know, 5 months later, check back in with them. What's going on? How you doing? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, I haven't read that book yet or anything, but I'm still trying to make this other thing work. And it's like, okay, well, you know, you said, I want to do exactly what you're doing. Almost like I want to be your competitor. I told you the exact thing I did and then you didn't do anything. So I can see why people at this level might not want to give advice because nobody will believe you. Nobody wants to listen.
Yeah. It's definitely also true for you and I. Like I said, I actually have no incentive to share much at the moment. I still try to write something every now and then, but not very specifically, especially about our delivery side, where I feel like we have actually discovered a few very real secrets and that allow us to get results where others. And yeah, I would never write about them because there is no gain for us. And it's kind of funny that also like these, I mean, we can talk about names like Dana Fazio, right? The gold email wizard. He actually said that he regrets the whole gold email mastery thing because basically for $100 or whatever he charged in the beginning, he cannibalized a shit ton of business for himself. And I actually do think that if he had focused on the business, on the agency himself instead of switching teaching, it would have made a shit ton of more money.
Yeah. So a couple thoughts here. The first is, that's a great marketing tagline. Oh man, I really wish that I wouldn't have sold these secrets because then my other business would have done better. That's a surefire way to get somebody to buy your course.
That's not what you're saying. No, that's not what you're saying. It's saying that like everyone started to do the same thing and now like no one of these people is actually making real money, including him.
Yeah.
Because like,
yeah, fair.
He discovered a few things that work. Then he taught them to people. But as soon as like you have 50 people running around sending using the same scripts and using the same old email stuff, it simply no longer works. So like, whenever you're buying something like this, you have to be aware that this is what you're getting. But also on the selling side, in my opinion, it makes zero sense because it cannibalizes very quickly.
So that's fair. Another point to this is, and this is exactly why I'm going to get DMs and you aren't. You're saying, oh, I'm never going to write about this. And I'm saying, oh man, I'd love to talk about it. So there's one. The other thing is you truly wouldn't like to write about these things because I remember when you did the permissionless MBA, like your whole thing was you were writing about sharing what it's like to give yourself an MBA. And part of that was you were reading books, but now it's like all action. Yeah, you know, you are the spear's tip in a lot of this business stuff. And it's like, you've got your MBA. I mean, by anybody's metric, you know, you start this business, it goes incredibly well, you know, you've earned your MBA in the real world. You wouldn't be interested in writing more about that.
It's a matter of nuances. Like I said, I would never write about the stuff that actually puts our business in danger in my opinion. And that includes like everything we're doing on the delivery side. Like I will not share specific tactics, strategies, infrastructure, whatever we're doing on the cold email side, because this is where we're making money, business. And the thing is, as soon as we are sharing this, a dozen other people will start doing this exact same thing and it will no longer work. And then we have to figure something new out. So I think it makes no sense. And on the other hand, there are certain things you can share. The machine framework we figured out in Thailand is something I want to write about. That's like an example, right? How we actually manage to operationalize. I think that's okay to share and also very interesting.
So I agree with you, not running about specifics, but you know, when I do talk to people about specifics, you know what happens? They go right out and they try and start from exactly where we are. They go, you know what you and I did first is we started doing it for free and then we started charging $500 and then we started charging $1,000 and we kept going up. And people go, oh, well, you know, when you charge $2,500 a month for this specific service, I'm just going to start there. And they don't have like a single way to say, this is what you're going to get, a single piece of documentation, a single case study. So the thing is, we're talking about the things that we're doing at this point, and the only people that's going to benefit are people one step behind, unless someone is smart enough at the beginning to be like, all right, I'm going to file that away for later.
Yeah, true enough. But at the same time, I think there is no benefit to like, I used to think differently about that, but now I really do think there are secrets, and we found a few. And I
don't want to. You got a partner out of it. I mean, last year in might have been March or February, I remember I was going out to this camping thing, no internet for a few days, and I downloaded every single blog post you ever wrote onto my Kindle, and I read that over the course of that weekend. And I used to do that with a lot of different indie hacker types, and just like, oh man, I wish I could think more like that guy, or I want to think more like that guy. So yeah, I mean, that cultivated the beginning of a relationship where we are now, and you never know who the next reader is that you're going to get something out of. Or you could be like Tim Ferriss and you could get a stalker.
True. So we are running out of time, but I think that's a good starting point. And next time we can actually do the rant about indie hackers that you want to get out. I can see it.
We'll bring Danny Postma down or something. He does it all too.
Yeah, but does he want to talk about it publicly? You gotta ask him.
Yeah, we could put a secret recorder somewhere. So he was talking about going up to like a coffee plantation in the north of Bali, and that could be like a cool background if we were to do that trip.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Hope that was try. It's good. Yeah. It'll get better.
It will get better. Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you later. Bye.